The body instrument. What tune has your mind been playing on your body? Wasting away in Margaritaville or Here Comes the Sun? Are you feeling more like an upright bass ready to go for a smooth spin? Or a rock guitar whose strings are busted and are being used to hold your bumper on? Who is playing your body instrument? The Cubicle Lounge Quartet or The Inspirations? I better stop. Your body is a channel, a vessel, an instrument. We can treat it like a garbage disposal, throwing cubicle thoughts for food into it, or it becomes sacred land upon where our inspired self can roam free as an instrument of inspiration. It clings to separation and dis-ease, or it comes into union as we allow the spirit of helpfulness to share peace through it. The body is neutral. It will obey either voice, cubicle or inspired. Who are you listening to? In this world, the body is a messenger of love or fear. Fear is a communicable disease. What makes you buy into fear? I will tell you my excuses. 1. Everyone else is doing it, and I want to be one of the gang. I don't want to feel like the odd one out. 2. It is a way of forming a strong bond with someone. The dispirited self tells me, better to have a fear-based bond than no bond at all. Now I won't be alone. 3. A fear of letting go of the fear. My whole world will fall apart. The key word here is my. What I made will come apart at the seams. Therefore, I will come apart at the seams because I am the maker. This is the fear of the loss of the cubicle self, which I see as my entire identity. 4. Habit. 5. Habit. 6. Habit. 7. It allows me to sit in judgment, which keeps me one up, in other words, separate. Let us review these dispirited excuses. 1. I often find myself falling into fear-based beliefs and conversations with others because it seems like the socially appropriate thing to do. Never mind the fact that I'm dragging people down into cubicle misery with me. This world is kind of like a cubicle charm school, a place where we learn how to instigate and perpetuate a charming version of hell. But to be a social outcast appears to be the alternative. The dispirited self strikes again and threatens me with being a social outcast. Yes, I will probably have more blank pages on my social calendar. I have not been invited to parties and book clubs because I am always the one bringing up the ridiculous. What is that again? Oh yeah, the pure spirit of peace. Pure spirit disturbs the cubicle self to no end. The cubicle self would rather drown in its own disturbance of the peace than face itself. The mentor within says, when you stop wanting to look socially appropriate, you will stop talking nonsense. 2. The fear-based bond is better than no bond at all. I realized one day that my relationship with many people in my life was held together by crazy glue, fear. The cubicle self has post-it notes all over its cubicle that say, I'd rather be foolish than alone. The irony is, of course, that it is both foolish and alone. 3. My whole world will fall apart, including me. This is the biggest lie the dispirited self tells us to keep us in fear. Your inspiring self-heart-mind will never ask you to do anything that you are not ready to do. It works along with your willingness. It never forces itself upon you. You will never be given more inspiration than you can handle in any given moment. It is the cubicle self on its own path to healing and enlightenment that coerces. When we are faced with choosing between the cubicle self or the inspired self, if I am not ready to go with inspiration, I don't have to. I will have plenty of other opportunities. Furthermore, the only things that will fall apart are the dispiriting thoughts I have been listening to. What does this mean? More peace. Sound good? 4, 5, and 6. Habit, habit, and habit. I never realized how much a creature of habit I was until I studied movement, specifically observed my own movement patterns. I saw that I had definite habitual movement patterns, ways of moving through the world. I discovered in the course of observing my own movement patterns as well as others that I also have definite habitual thought patterns. The cubicle self thinks the same thought over and over again, only it puts different words onto the thought, thus appearing as many diverse thoughts. The thought, of course, is disconnection. On the way to spend the day with someone who lives in total fear, I began to pray for help. I want peace of mind. In my desire for peace, instead of spending my day giving over 1,000 different thoughts, I simply gave over the one thought of disconnection. I was given explicit instructions on how to experience peace. Inspiration gave me some good advice. 1. Love everyone equally. 2. Do not judge the cubicle self, anyone's cubicle self. I had a peaceful day. Desire peace. Contemplate peace. Peace, peace. Experience peace. This is healing. Make a habit of healing, and it will become a naturally occurring event. Dispirited cubicle thoughts are ongoing and attempting to release everyone wagging its golden tail in your mind will keep you chasing your tail and focused on the cubicle thoughts. You will be running around in circles doing a supposed peace walk and asking, where the heck is this peace I keep hearing about? No, we don't deny the wagging golden tails, but we also do not obsess about them. We see them, feel the feeling they are eliciting in us, and respond by choosing peace instead. Eventually, we will see the golden tail, but have no interest in it. Someday, peace will outshine the golden tail, and all we will see is peace. Be aware. The cubicle self always wants to audition for the part of your inspired self. The cubicle self wants us to work hard at trying to get rid of the cubicle self because it knows that this means I am trying to undo the cubicle self with my cubicle self, and it ain't gonna happen. The cubicle self will be undone simply by my willingness to see peace instead of this, with the help of inspiration. Inspiration will teach me all I need to know. Hard to believe? That's the good part. We don't have to believe. All we need is to be willing. 7. I get to be one up. When I feel one up, it is because I am putting someone down. The separation game goes into overtime. Your inspired self, heart, mind doesn't look up or look down. It looks within. What it sees within, it sees without. It sees equality. It sees connection. The inspired self, heart, mind teaches union. The cubicle self, heart, mind teaches disconnection. It fears union because it jeopardizes its familiar, customized, disconnected, itsy-bitsy cubicle world. On the surface, we would all say that we want to experience being together in peace with one another. So why aren't we? Because beneath that surface is the roaring thunder of separation. Cubicle eyes look out onto the world and begin the game of cubicle compare and contrast, always seeing something or someone as better than or worse than itself. This is because cubicle eyes never look within. Within is the one plane of peace. Within, there is no sense of time or space. There is simply silence. This is the main reason so many of us do not want to practice being quiet, being still with spirit. The possibility of experiencing being out of time and space is frightening to the dispirited self. Remember, it is not the dispirited self having this experience. It is your inspired self. Thus, once again, do not be afraid. Some call it a near-death experience. I call it a real-life experience. I have experienced the union available within. Let me tell you, it is the most glorious peace I have ever experienced, and I am forever grateful. Do not be afraid. Under what circumstances did I have this experience of total connection, of peace? Well, oddly enough, I had this experience while I was in the midst of anxiety, nausea, worry, insomnia, digestive ailments, lightheadedness, fatigue. You get the picture. You see, we cannot wait for peace to experience peace. We need to release all that is not bringing us peace and express our willingness to inspiration to experience peace instead of this. Physical, emotional, and mental ailments do not have to be an obstacle to peace. One night I was lying in bed for hours, no sleeping going on at all. I had not been feeling well for a couple of weeks and I seemed to be getting worse instead of better. Yet, hope was alive. I knew I wasn't alone. I called upon inspiration and claimed its presence in my mind. I looked each one of these symptoms in the face one by one and said, "Come on, come here. I am sending you right on into peace." It was like sending a lost child home. One by one, I chose not to fear the symptom, but to face it. Not in order to fight with it or analyze it, but simply to motion it into peace. Rather than resisting the symptoms, thoughts about the symptoms, or fear itself, I allowed it to come over me while surrendering completely to spirit. The thought of the death of my body entered my mind. I surrendered that as well. I stepped back, got out of the way, and let spirit have it all. My cubicle fear had been doing plenty of battling thus far, and I was exhausted. Funny, sometimes we have to get pretty far down before we realize there must be a better way. I looked at the clock. It was 5:45 a.m. I was wide awake, and then suddenly, I was gone. Peace and I merged. Union. I felt immense peace that I cannot even begin to describe. I found myself joined with everyone everywhere. I had no desire to return, for in this peace, no one was missing. Thus, there was no one or no thing to return to. We were all together. I didn't miss anyone because everyone was there. I asked this peaceful presence, "Please let me stay here. Please let me stay here." At that point, I felt myself land back in the bed, my soul landing back into my body, like an airplane landing on the airstrip. A breath came into my body and my eyes opened. I looked at the clock and 45 minutes had passed. I was in a state of complete joy, smiling ear to ear and laughing. All symptoms were gone for the next few hours. Why did the symptoms return? Not all of my sense of disconnectedness was healed. I was still holding on to judgment and resisting. That is cubicle nature, and it generally doesn't disappear in one fell swoop. And that's okay. What has not returned is my lack of trust in inspiration. I now trust inspiration completely, moment to moment. I don't always turn to inspiration for help. I forget. But when I remember, I am 100% certain that inspiration is present and healing is happening in that moment. Being a creature of cubicle habit, fear and symptoms of fear will return. Yet each habit, each symptom is an opportunity to release the fear into peace and let peace have its way. Healing is a process of beauty unfolding within. We take what we are ready for, when we are ready, nothing more, nothing less, and give thanks.